W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
Howdy, 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 and welcome into the Friday episode of the WTH podcast. It's still in the back of my mind to call it the original show name.
Yes, we're back, motherfuckers.
It's, Jason is not here because the 2.5-year-old won't go to bed. So there's that. Just want to mention, if you weren't aware, and I should have mentioned it the last episode, the Morning Crunchwrap podcast is back. It's been back all week.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah, I get it back. They chose a new Batman. That was Monday's topic.
Who's the new Batman?
Oh, we'll talk about that in just a second. Since we're going to have a little chit-chat. And I wanted to get to all of that. But so the other thing that we're doing with this show, and we may put a pause button on it, because it is a gigantic pain in the buttocks right now, is we are putting all of these episodes on YouTube. And the upload time on YouTube from the house here for a 45-minute to an hour-long file is extraordinarily long. It's like overnight.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know the other day when I was uploading, I just went ahead and uploaded it and left the house and then came back and completed it.
Yeah, it's an incredibly long process because allegedly, if you do 4K videos, and all it is for the video portion, it's really just the Instagram graphic that I make for each show.
Yeah.
And in full screen, but I've up-resed it to 4K because I'm like, okay, well, if we're doing 4K and it gets put out into more places, great. But to go to 4K took it from being a couple of hours to upload to being 8-9 hours to upload.
Oh, wow.
It's literally an overnight process. So as I looked at it earlier this week, there is virtually no one who is listening to the show via YouTube. Now, when we get Darling New Media launched and we are in the space that we're going to be in, we are going to live stream the show to YouTube and the shows will be archived there. And that's a different process because it gets archived as we do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be not on this residential internet. So the internet speeds will be faster and that'll be a whole other thing. So we'll be able to have people watch live as we record the evening shows. And then we'll put them out that way. So people will be able to consume them that way. But for now, we'll see if by the time this show hits, we have not had several more people consume it via YouTube, then we're going to cease doing that just because it's not worth the time.
Right.
It's not worth the time to do it. But we are, of course, available. You can talk to your Amazon Echo. Just say, Alexa, play podcast, WTH podcast from TuneIn, and we'll be there. And the same thing for the Morning Crunchwrap podcast. That is also available on your Amazon Echo via the TuneIn app. Just say, play the Morning Crunchwrap podcast. And it just pops right up there. And the fun thing is, if you forget for a while, let's say you do it and then you don't do it, it will go back. Like I hadn't checked like the last few that I did before we took a couple weeks off. And it was like, Alexa next. And it was like, okay, then I got caught up.
Okay.
So it does pause. And I'd seen some people say, no, it doesn't, but it does pause where you leave off. So if you stop listening to the show and then you go back to it another time, it will pick it up where you left off.
Oh, cool.
Which is a nice feature if you want to consume the show that way as opposed to the other way. But that's it. So the Batman has been chosen for the new trilogy of movies, and it is Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
What?
Yeah.
Do they just like fucking up who they picked for Batman?
Well, there were some other people that were in the running. Armie Hammer was one that was mentioned for the role. The thing is, it doesn't matter as much who plays Batman as it does, do you have a decent script and story?
That's true.
Because George Clooney, a lot of the terrible things about the George Clooney Batman movie had nothing to do with George Clooney. They put nipples on Batman's suit. That was nothing to do with George Clooney. They had Alicia Silverstone in that movie, and she was terrible, and that had nothing to do with George Clooney. Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze character was just
awful,
fucking atrocious, unwatchable, had nothing to do with George Clooney. And if you go back through the Batman movies where people have a real issue with who plays Batman, it tends to be the ones where the script sucks and the story goes nowhere.
Yeah.
And you and I are old enough to remember when they announced Michael Keaton was going to play Batman and everyone lost their shit. And they were like, oh, Michael Keaton, why the fuck is Michael Keaton going to play Batman? How is he going to do it? Is he going to do it like all comical? This is supposed to be more of a dark version of Batman. It's going to be like Adam West. Michael Keaton can only do comedy. I mean, Michael Keaton's Mr. Mom, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And Michael Keaton did two Batman movies and absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, he did a great job. Having Jack in the first one helped a lot too. That's still one of my favorite.
It did, but villains. He held his own.
Yeah, no, yeah, he did.
That was the beautiful part of it, is he was able to hold his own against that. Val Kilmer was,
and Kim Basinger didn't hurt either.
Val Kilmer was okay as Batman.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, I think, was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
And then Affleck has done the past few. But those weren't Batman movies.
I couldn't watch Affleck as Batman. I can't watch Affleck as a superhero after he fucked up Daredevil for me.
I watched them. They were okay, but they weren't Batman movies.
Yeah.
It was Batman versus Superman and Justice League. And there was all of these other things that went along with it that you never really got the whole thing. And I think he tried to out Christian Bale,
yeah,
with the voice and everything else. But the real issue was the script sucked.
Yeah.
The scripts were terrible. It was going nowhere. So if the scripts are terrible and your story's going nowhere and the universe that you're creating stinks, I don't care who you get to play Batman.
Yeah. Daredevil was one of my favorite comics as a kid. Like, it was like X-Men,
right?
Black Panther, and Daredevil. And like I said, he fucked it up, so I can't.
Did you watch the Netflix Daredevil show?
Yeah.
And what did you think of that one?
It was okay.
Yeah, I watched that one. That was my exact reaction, too. I was like, okay, yeah, it's fine. And then I heard they were canceling all of those, and I was like, well, I'm not watching any more of these, because
yeah,
that's pretty much the end of the exciting part of that, so... But yeah, the film I think is out next, like 2020. They obviously haven't started yet. They picked Robert Pattinson. They're still negotiating the contracts, but the director tweeted it out on Sunday night that they had chosen Robert Pattinson. Variety had reported on Friday that Warner Brothers had signed off on Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
So really they're just finalizing the contracts, and I'm sure that'll all fall into place.
Who's the director?
Oh God. Gosh, I forget. Let me see. I'll find out in just one second. Matt Reeves.
Hmm.
Yeah. CNN reported, director's Robert Pattinson Batman tweet is all you need.
I guess
it's all you need, Kareem. All you need.
Well, I never watched any of that Twilight bullshit, so I don't know.
You know, and that's the thing, is what he did earlier in his career could have no bearing on what he can do now.
Yeah.
And we go back to having a British guy being Batman.
Yeah.
Christian Bale was British. Robert Pattinson's British. So some people were very mad, saying, don't make the Batfleck mistake again.
Please don't.
But I mean, it was Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, and Justice League. So it was the movies as a whole. Suicide Squad was a nightmare. It had nothing to do with Affleck.
Yeah.
So he's catching a lot of bullshit that he doesn't really deserve. And he, you know, there are a lot of things he deserved bullshit for.
But it's all, it all goes back to Daredevil.
Okay.
It wasn't just me, but I'm just telling you.
Was he the bomb in Phantom Yo?
In who?
That's a line from, it's a line from like Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah. That's why that's why nobody wants to see him as a superhero, because he fucked it up so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he has a strength to what he does, and that's not necessarily it.
Yeah. Like, I love him in, what is it? Accountant.
Mm.
So he was great in The Accountant. He was great in The Town.
Argo was another really good movie. Ben Affleck has made some really good movies.
Yeah.
It's just some people aren't really great at playing superheroes, at least in that. And here's the thing. I think if you had Affleck in a Marvel situation with the right Marvel character, I think he would have been fine, because those movies are set up in a certain way that, aside from the first couple Iron Man movies, it's not just this tour de force of one person.
Yeah.
You know, that was Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. If he had not been as good as he was, we would not have had
as many Iron Man.
We would have had this. We still would have had the same idea with the whole Marvel thing, but it wouldn't have had that huge takeoff point where everybody said, these are good movies, not just these are comic book movies.
Yeah.
And, so to go forward from there, I mean, if you love Marvel movies, you owe Robert Downey Jr. everything, because we would not have it to the level that we do without that. So Ben Affleck getting some scorn. It might be time for more scorn for Jussie Smollett. Now, I read this and I was like, well, then. Oh, Jussie. Now, a police examination of his text messages revealed that on various occasions over the past year, the actor requested an associate procure him cocaine, ecstasy, and marijuana, the payment for which was made via Venmo.
Oh, what an idiot.
He really is. His alleged narcotics purchases, allegedly, are referred to in a police report that was among hundreds of pages of documents released by the Chicago PD. The materials detail the department's investigation into Smollett's claim that he was the victim of a hate crime attack back in late January. He was eventually charged with fabricating the assault tale. Investigators allege that Smollett paid $3,500 to two brothers to help stage the attack. Now, in late March, the Cook County prosecutor dropped the criminal charges against the actor, a decision that was blasted by Chicago's mayor and police commanders. A search warrant for telephone records revealed communications between Smollett and his drug contact that began in late February of 2018. It appears the search warrant was for the phone records of his associate, but in the text, Smollett would request weed, Molly, or Whitney, that he would always love. According to the report, now in particular, weed is slang for cannabis. Well, thanks. Molly is slang for ecstasy, and Whitney is slang for cocaine. Oh, that's the one I didn't know.
I didn't know it before you said it, but when you said it, I was like, oh, okay, that's fucked up. They've named cocaine
No. Well, they didn't. It's the street name.
Yeah.
The report contends there were multiple occasions when Smollett apparently used Venmo to pay for illicit activity.
Was it at least smart enough not to say what he was paying for?
Well, it was claimed as payments for legitimate expenses. For example, cops say when he paid $100 for ecstasy pills, he listed training as the reason for the Venmo transfer. So he thought he was covering his tracks that way. During the police probe, the detective contacted a Venmo official who agreed to preserve records of Smollett's account until police could secure a subpoena for those documents. So this is not over yet.
He should have known they were going to try to get him.
What a dumbass. Well, I mean, this all happened before the whole.
Oh, damn.
Now, whether you believe he made up the whole thing or not, these things were happening prior to and concurrent with all of that. So on the last show, we had the hotel clerk who was called the N-word and then said it was above him. Well, our old friend Coach Dave, who's a right-wing fella, and a few dozen of his right-wing activists descended on Chappaqua, New York, to protest outside the Clintons' home and demand the arrest of Hillary Clinton. They went to the city's Memorial Day parade, where they held signs and chanted his Bill and Hillary. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and other dignitaries passed by. And on his Pass the Salt Live webcast, Coach Dave complained that he and his fellow activists were ridiculed, criticized, and called bigots by some of those who were attending the parade. And he's got an interesting take on all of that.
Now, listen, folks, I learned this. I saw this plain as can be. Bigot.
I say. He was channeling his inner Foghorn Leghorn at the beginning.
Is the new N-word.
Hold on. Let me go back. Let me go back.
I saw this play.
It's important to hear what he says here.
Plain as can be. Bigot is the new N-word. Bigot. They don't call us N-words. They call us bigots. Can you imagine them saying to black people, you're not welcome here? Isn't that bigotry?
Yes, that is. But telling hateful people you're not welcome here because you're bigots.
Yeah, this is a different conversation.
It really is. But let's let Coach Dave finish.
Isn't that bigot? Yeah, we had some guy chanting, go back to Alabama. You tell me that's not bigotry? You tell me that's not racism?
It's not.
I didn't know people in Alabama were a race.
They're not. It's that's not at all what it is. But let's hear what else he has to say.
But see, they can throw the word bigot out there, and bigot is a socially accepted word. Oh, if they called what? They called homo. Oh, no, you can't do that. You yelled, oh, nigger. Oh, no. You can't do that. Bigot, Christian, bigot. They can do that. Do it all day, and everybody applauds. Bigot.
Did he just yell out the N-word?
He did.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. Coach. Coach, dumbass, you can't do that.
No. He is convinced that calling him and the people with him bigots is the same as using the N-word.
No.
Just saying. Look, I'm only reporting the news here. I'm only here to mock him. I don't know if Coach Dave is from, in fact, Alabama. I don't know what he was hoping to accomplish by protesting outside of Bill and Hillary's house.
Secret Service should have shot him in the ass. Just graze the cheek.
You're telling me that's not bigotry? You're telling me that's not racism? Yeah, that's exactly what we're telling you.
Not cripple him, just a cheek.
The fleshy part of the thigh? Fleshy
part of the thigh.
By the way, that's an episode of The Sopranos, the fleshy part of the thigh. Yeah, Coach Dave never disappoints. He yelled, he did yell the N-word twice.
Yes, he deserves to get shot in the ass.
We're not going to play that one again.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Oh, it is time for Florida Corner. We start in Bay County, where a Florida teacher did not give her student an F. What did she give them? Well,
she was shocked when her son handed her his science homework and WTF is this was written across the top.
Just see WTF, what is this? You know, basically, is this, there's no credit. It wasn't anything about not getting a credit. It was more so the language about what they're writing to a student. That was very inappropriate and not acceptable for a teacher whatsoever.
And now she's calling for the teacher to account for her actions.
I think for sure she needs to be reprimanded. I believe that something should be placed in her file.
We're told the teacher in question does not want to respond publicly to the situation. Rutherford Principal Coy Pilsen says they are taking the necessary steps to deal with the incident. and does not want to release the teacher's name at this time.
Once we were notified, I notified district officials, and our HR has been involved, and they're currently investigating the situation.
So my question was the paper what the fuck worthy?
We don't really get into that. I also enjoy, and I'm sure you noticed this, that it was a poor black guy who had to sit out there and go, yeah, this has been handed on to.
Yeah, because if you turned in a shitty paper, then you deserve a what the fuck. If you just turned in a paper just to turn something in, you deserve a what the fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't show the whole thing. There's a little bit left in the news story.
He says he has spoken with the teacher regarding appropriate classroom conduct.
She was apologetic, and it was a mistake on her part.
And he says he wants the community to know one thing about Rutherford.
All of the teachers at Rutherford High School are caring, loving teachers. And we're also human. And so we make mistakes, but we understand that we are called to a high professional standard. And when we make mistakes, we try to correct those mistakes and move forward.
It's unclear if any action will be taken against the teacher at this time. In Bay County, Katie Griffiths, News Channel 7.
Well, allow me to retort.
Okay.
I want to know if it was what the fuck worthy.
Well, I think the real lesson here is it's a WTH is the more safe acronym to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're about here. It's spreading WTH across the fruited plain. Oh yeah, we still got more music. It's still got some more Florida Corner here for you. A woman was arrested for throwing a drink at conservative representative Matt Gaetz outside of Florida Town Hall. A Florida woman, a one-time congressional candidate, was arrested after throwing a drink at Congressman Matt Gaetz at a Republican lawmaker was leaving a town hall event in Pensacola. Local police detained the woman, who was identified as Amanda Kondratyev, and later charged her with assault and battery for throwing the drink. The 35-year-old Kondratyev, and it's spelled Kondrat-YEV. So excuse my pronunciation. She was one of several candidates running against Gaetz in the 2016 election before she left the race. She's since been released on bail, by the way. Video of the incident posted to Twitter shows Gaetz walking outside the Brouhaha restaurant. By the way, if I'm ever in Pensacola, I will not be going to the Brouhaha restaurant.
Did she get close to hitting him?
Let's take a look at the video. Really quickly here. It was a milkshake. It sort of bounced around. It didn't hit him in the head. He might have got a little milkshake on him.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nothing. Nothing too serious. It wasn't like a pie in the face or anything.
Yeah.
Which is a European tradition. But that's Florida Corner. We got Toss in a Cup and Teacher Renton WTF.
Said, I want to know if it was worthy of what the fuck.
They never get into that. By the way, that was the least interested reporter ever on a story. I think a lot of it had to do with, it was probably just a producer. So they're like, oh, hey, go out and do this. And it's part of why local news is failing.
Yeah. And she never mentioned, the girl never mentioned that she didn't think she should get an F. She just was like, oh.
Well, it was the mom. Yeah. It was the mom who was upset because.
Of course it was.
She was the whitest mom ever. Yeah. The whitest mom ever.
Participation trophy mom.
So.
My daughter's in the class. She deserves an A.
How dare you subject my child to the F word?
Especially when she sent me, she turned in some shit.
Such a good times. All right. So have you ever thought about trying to set a Guinness World Record?
I have. When I was a kid, that was one of the books that I would check out from the library and go through and look at all the weird shit that people had done.
Yeah. We had the bookmobile and that was one of the things we could pick, like a book. And that was usually the one that I got. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
It never is.
Yeah.
It's always something kind of weird. And they've taken out a lot of the things that people were doing when we were kids. They've taken out because they're not safe.
Yeah. And when we were kids, there was that show called That's Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So we would watch that and you would see some amazing shit happen up there. And I would always try something that was up there.
They said not to try that.
Yeah.
But I remember one guy on that show. And I remember this show was on when I was like eight, nine years old. And I remember this one dude and his name is Yogi Kudu. And Yogi Kudu was like 6'2" or something like that.
Exactly who you're talking about.
And motherfucker would fold himself into a clear acrylic box.
Yes.
And I don't know why that is seared into my memory, but it is.
I knew exactly who you were talking about when you were, look, you, that was even before you said Yogi. I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Oh, that's incredible. One of the hosts was Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah.
It was so weird because he had literally like just retired from the NFL and you had him and there were like four hosts on this show. Yeah. But that one in Real People was the other one that was Real People was not as exciting. It was Byron Allen.
Byron Allen, yeah.
Byron Allen, who still looks like he's 30, even though he was on Real People 35, 40 years ago.
Yeah. Mr. Media Mogul.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the shows that were on. Although at the time, I couldn't really watch Real People that often because it was on the NBC station and it didn't come in very well on our antenna at home.
Yeah. We used to watch those back to back every week.
Yeah. It's a crazy time. So what I noticed this week is we have found what I thought was the lamest world record ever set. A worker at an England store made a cushion spin on his finger for 18 minutes and 14 seconds to break the Guinness World Record. His name's Dan Spencer, and he's an employee at the Morrison store in Brighton. He sat on a chair in the store and made a seat cushion twirl on his finger for a total of 18 minutes and 14 seconds while his wife Haley coordinated timekeepers and took video of the attempt. The Spencers said Dan successfully beat the previous record of 15 minutes and 7 seconds, and they're submitting the evidence to Guinness for the official recognition, saying, "I started doing this when I was about 10 years old. When I was watching the telly with my mom, I would sit there and spin a pillow in the front room, and it drove her mad." Haley Spencer congratulated her husband on his accomplishment, which raised money for charity Guide Dogs, saying, "It was really good to see him achieve it, and all those times I was hit in the face with a cushion worthwhile."
Well, at least it was raising money for something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, you know, that is the lamest world record that you will ever see. And then Irish students broke a back padding world record.
Oh, my God.
That's right. More than 800 students at an Irish school gave each other pats on the back to break a Guinness World Record. The Willow Park Parents Association said 824 students from Willow Park, Blackrock College, and St. Andrew's College formed a chain on the front lawn of Blackrock College in the afternoon on Thursday and exchanged pats on the back. The association said they bested the record of 329 people patting each other on the back at England's Leicester Grammar Junior School in June 2018. The attempt served as a fundraiser for Charity Dogs for the Disabled. Apparently, that's what you have to do if you have a really lame world record attempt. Officials say they're submitting evidence from the attempt to the Guinness World Records for official recognition. I would think that we, if we really tried, Kareem, could break 824 people patting each other on the back.
I think we could.
I think we could probably do that. Maybe we'll make that a fall event.
Yeah.
The fall event. The world record. Patting each other on the back. I mean, it's kind of a cool. I mean, you could make it. No, we can't make it cool. But we can make it a thing.
You could make it a thing.
We can make it a thing. And I think that, you know, let's file that away.
Hey, you're like 2 minutes from Drake's Bar, and I'm pretty sure you could get 800 people over there to pat yourself on the back.
Maybe. You know.
Oh, or a basketball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Don, we need to partner something with the Kings.
Yeah.
Something with the Kings or with the Sac Republic.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And you just do it at a game.
Do it at a game. The LA Angels have done that a few different times, breaking records because they have like giveaways of stuff. And it's like most people wearing a sombrero.
Yeah.
Yeah, we totally need to do that. Let's get on that. Don't anybody steal that. No, nobody around Sacramento steal our thunder. Or lame record attempt.
Lame record attempt.
Although someone will probably break that between here and there. So it's
yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, what are you gonna do? But we'll see. We'll get Jason on that.
Oh, yeah. He'll love something like that.
Assuming he can get his daughter to bed.
Yes.
Assuming he can get his daughter to bed, we'll get Jason right on that.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All righty. It's time to check in with our friend Marilyn Haggerty in Grand Forks, North Dakota for the Eat Beat, where you can have it spicy or mild at Casa Mexico. Some like it mild, some like it spicy. In Casa Mexico, now in other places it would be called Casa Mexico. I guarantee it's called Casa Mexico there. It's in East Grand Forks. They seem to have something for everyone. The large, well-organized menu begins with a la carte appetizers and ranges all the way to a Spanish custard called flan among the desserts.
Flan.
In between, the restaurant in East Grand Forks has a complete menu with enough choices to build up its strong following. The menu shows lunch specials, combination meals, and kids-only selections. There are burritos, salads, fajitas, steaks, as well as nachos, quesadillas, enchiladas, and a house special. Soup is made with chicken, rice, tomatoes, onions, cilantro, and avocado. The response was lively when I asked friends at nearby Salon East Beauty Shop what they choose at Casa Mexico. They're busy all the time, said one. It's unreal. The tamales are really good, said another. So's the rice. Sergio Aguirre, who operates the restaurant, said chili verde is one of the dishes more popular in the summer. It's described as chunks of pork cooked with green tomatillo sauce, salsa verde. It's served with rice, beans, and flour tortillas for $15.75. The chimichanga's dinner, $12.50, is a bestseller. To make it, two flour tortillas are filled with shredded beef or chicken, then topped with jalapeno cheese sauce and red sauce and filled with lettuce, tomato, and sour cream. Casa Mexico is one of a group of seven restaurants operated by an Aguirre family partnership. At one time, Sergio Aguirre said there were 12 restaurants in the group. Those operating in North Dakota are La Carreta in both Bismarck and Jamestown and El Tora in Wapelton. Now 49, he came to the U.S. when he was 17 to join a family restaurant business. He and his wife, Daniela, are raising their family of six children. My recent visit to Casa Mexico was with G.A. granddaughter Ann Sandstrom. We stopped by for a quick supper. She liked the quesadilla with white cheese. My choice of a chimichanga platter was all right, but it lacked the crisp, crunchy, and slightly hot quality. Another time, I'll try the taquitos. They're described as three rolled-up fried corn tortillas stuffed with shredded beef or chicken. They're served with lettuce, guacamole, salad, and sour cream for $10.95. Overall, the quick supper was right for what we were seeking, and I noticed a swift increase in seating at tables and in booths after 5:30 p.m. I'm guessing that's the back end of her visit.
Yeah.
Lunchtime also brings in customers who quickly fill booths and nearby tables. There's extra seating for 160 on the attractive main floor of the restaurant. A downstairs dining room provides extra space for large crowds or group events. And here's the wrap-up. Casa Mexico. It's at 112 14th Street Northeast in East Grand Forks. Sergio Aguirre is the owner and manager. Jose Garcia is the chef. Reservations 218-773-4331. They're open 11 a.m. to closing at 9:30 p.m. Sunday to Thursday at 10 p.m. and closing Friday and Saturday.
Man, I'm going to have to go to Grand Forks to get some Mexican food.
East Grand Forks. They seat 160 downstairs with expansion seating for 70. The report card, which again, not a report card. Extensive menu is well organized and easy to read. Seating choices are pleasant at both tables or in booths. And there's an authentic Mexican flair in the decor. Prices are mid-range. All right.
Probably got Speedy Gonzalez on the window.
Look, the guy who owns it did come from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's not really clear if he came legally or not. So she might indeed be outing him. We don't know this.
As long as he stays down at the southern part of the state.
Of North Dakota?
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on that just in case. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the WTH Podcast. Remember, hit that Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com to do your Amazon shopping. It doesn't cost you extra, and we do appreciate it because it helps throw a couple of nickels our way. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. For Kareem and myself and the absent Jason Casey.
Oh, and if you listen to this during the day, come by the Brick House. I'll be there tonight.
Oh, yes.
For First Fridays.
Ah, very good. Very good. Have a great weekend, everybody. Fresh new show on Monday, and we've got grievances for you. We'll see you then.